Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
We are here again, hearing what Yahweh has to say. If you just give me a moment to get myself acclimated, I got these new bifocals. Literally, they are bifocals. But they have this they call progressive. You know where the ad is? Right there at the bottom. And I'm just still trying to figure out where it is so I can read. So I just want to welcome you, not just those of you who are here in the sanctuary, but also those of you who are tuning in online on iChurch. You're tuning in on English channel, and you're also tuning in on our Spanish channel. I want to welcome you to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles. We affectionately call it 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I'm Pastor Tom Washington, and we are just blessed to have your presence here. If you want to know more about the ministry, there should be some information there on the site that lets you know how to get in touch with us. We would really love to hear from you. Last and not least, since we are truth seekers and we want to get to know the Savior at a deeper level, you can do the same thing. You can first, though, start by doing that, by learning him by his true Hebrew name, which is Yeshua. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to jump right in. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. As you all know, we have been on a hunger quest. Anybody heard of the movie Hunger Games? Yes, you've heard of that. But we're hungry for something else in the kingdom. We're hungry for the way that Yahweh has really set forth, or we should be hungry for the way he has set forth, the way we should live our lives. Because listen, I don't know about you, but I've tried it the other way, acting unsaved, can I put it that way? And I've tried it the saved way, and I can definitely tell you for a fact that it's such more fulfilling, it's a blessing and an honor to be able to live a saved life. Can anybody feel that same way that I do? I mean, you've been living the saved life. How has it been? Well, you don't act like it's been anything for you. What has it been? I mean, you know, it's a different life. And so that's what we've been talking about, the aspect of holiness. And we've been really embracing that. One of the things we found out, I just want to do a little recap. When we accept Yeshua as our Savior and we get baptized and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have already received some transformative works from Yahweh. There's things that he does in us. See, for instance, when you get saved, you're not the same anymore, are you? But a lot of times you say, oh, I feel good. There's something different about me. But that's what bothers me is that people say, well, there's something different. But there's specific things that are different about you, right? You should know what they are. First thing is that he redeemed you. So when you came to him, he redeemed you. That means he cleaned you up. He made you free, rather. He freed you. He redeemed you. The next thing he did when you came to him is that he made you righteous. So he cleaned you up. The next thing he did for you is he justified you. He certified you. Say, that's mine. She's mine. He's mine. Right? And then the next thing he did was sanctify you, which means he set you apart for his use. Right? so this is a work that he did. We can't do that work ourselves. We found in the word that we can't redeem ourselves. We cannot justify ourselves. We cannot make ourselves righteous, and we cannot sanctify ourselves. That's a work that he does. That's part of the transformation. But once we've been transformed, he says, you need to now live a holy life. And so we're trying to find out, how can we do that? And so if we go to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, that's something that I really believe that we need to read together. Because if he made us different and he transformed us, we should want to stay that way. Right? So all that we're doing now, once he does that wondrous work in us, all we're doing is we're maintaining that. Right? Just like when you get a car, right? Brand new car. What do you do with that brand new car? Get warranty on it? But what do you find yourself doing? Oh. Putting pipes on it. He's talking about this brother right here. All the modifications. When you get a new car, you want to keep it clean, right? Don't you do that? Hey, when you get a new car, don't you tell people you can't eat up in here. Don't you do that? What? No, you can't eat in it? Now, you eat it, but you won't let nobody else do it. Why won't you let nobody else do it? Because you don't want them to what? Mess it up, right? When you park that new car, where do you park the car? You park it like 20 miles away, right? Because you don't want no other car to what? To open the door on you, right? To ding it up. So you're trying to what? Maintain it. So that's the same thing. But whatever you're driving, you're driving a Chevrolet, you're driving a Ford, you're driving a Toyota, you're driving a Volkswagen, whatever it is that you're driving, you didn't make that car. You didn't make it. Uh-oh. He said President Obama got in trouble for trying to make the car, that Chevy Volt, that's what it was.
You didn't build that.
You didn't build it. Well, we didn't build it. We didn't. Because you don't know how to what? Build a car. You don't know how to build the car from the ground up. So you don't know how to sanctify yourself. You don't know how to justify yourself. You don't know how to redeem yourself and justify. You don't know nothing. You can't do it. It's impossible for you to do. But hallelujah, through the blood of Yeshua, he did it for us. He did it in us. Right? He transformed us. So therefore, he's saying, here you go. Now just maintain it. How do you maintain it? By living a holy life. What is holiness? So we see here for the 2nd chapter, the 7th verse. It says, the 7th chapter, the 1st verse. And if you will read with me, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yahweh, or not in the fear that I'm scared, but in the reverence of Yahweh. So when he says perfecting holiness, that's something we do. We work in it. We work in the holiness. We're trying to figure out, okay, what is it that you want me to do, Yahweh? How can I maintain this? Because didn't you feel good when you came up out of that water? Didn't you just feel like all of the yokes were broken and the shackles were broken and you just had a brand new start? And the question is always, how can I keep feeling this way? The way you keep feeling this way is that you constantly perfect holiness. Meaning you work holiness, meaning you pursue holiness, meaning that you're hungry for holiness. So wherever that holiness is, that is where you want to be. You want to position yourself. So I challenge you, saints, that holiness is a lifestyle. Now you're living a different life. Your life has changed. Your life is transformed. So therefore, now you're living a different lifestyle. What does that mean? well, the stuff that I used to do, I can't do no more. Some of the places that I used to be, I shouldn't go anymore because it's not going to be good for my sanctification. I mean, how can he use me if I'm always in the strip club? Now, let me tell you something. Some brother testified to me a while back and said, oh, I witnessed to somebody in the strip club. Come on, brother. See, yeah, I will admit, there are souls that need to be saved in the strip club. But if you popping dollars and throwing dollars and stuff and participating in the fooly-wang that's going on in the place, then they don't see that there's a difference between you and them. So therefore, you're trying to tell them about a transformed lifestyle, but yet you're not acting like your life has been transformed. So the purpose of holiness is to show the world that we're different. The purpose of the world is to show, of holiness is to show the world that we've been set apart, that we've been redeemed, that we've been justified, and that we've been sanctified. Now, yo, get this straight. It don't mean that you act like you're better than everybody else. But it means it gives you an opportunity to say, hey, I found a better way of living. Let me share it with you. Amen. How do you share that with them? Listen, I'm telling y'all, people like to say, you can't have no fun being saved. I beg to differ. I have a lot of fun. I laugh. I have a good time. I go eat. I go to the movies. I do all the stuff that's out there to do, but I do it holy. I'm serious. I have a great time. And so that's what people say. Well, you know, we ain't going to have no fun. That ain't true. That's a lie. And so I told you last time when I was with you about all the stuff that the devil tried to tell you was fun out there, you know, about the drinking. Yeah, but yeah, the drinking was fun and the laughing, but what about the hangover? What about the memory loss? What about the DUI? What about who you woke up next to and you was like, whoa. So, you know, there's misery in that, you know? And so the devil don't want to tell you that, let you remember that stuff. He just wants you to remember the fun that happened before it, but not the misery that happened afterwards. But I've been delivered from the misery. I've been delivered from the heaviness. I've been delivered from that. So my job is I just want to maintain it. And so when we looked at that, perfecting holiness, that's not his job. He did his work. I told you, he did those transformative works. To maintain that is my job. So perfecting holiness is my job. Tell your neighbor, it's your job. So it's your job. He did all that other stuff. Now it's my job. All right. So holiness is not automatic. You don't automatically get holy, right? But what happens is, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians while I'm running my mouth on this other stuff. Holiness ain't automatic. You gotta work it. And a lot of times you're thinking, oh, just because you get saved, you can put on the cruise control. No, sir. No, ma'am. You still got to work it. You still got to drive, right? And so, when we look at the meaning of holiness in the Hebrew, it's called kodesh. And kodesh means to treat as sacred. It means moral and spiritual goodness that you maintain. So that is your job. Holiness means you got to maintain it. You got to stay clean and be clean. And you're always saying, hey, you're always monitoring yourself. Examining yourself. Hey, what kind of choices should I make? What am I supposed to do? 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. If you need it, say, I need it. All right. And so that says, for Yahweh has not called us unto uncleanness. So hope, first off, if we know that Yahweh's holy, he's called us to holiness. We know what holiness is. It's maintaining that moral goodness, right, that he's placed and he's shown us how to live. If we understand what that is, he's called us to that. When he said, be ye holy for I'm holy, he's called us to come up and to be what? Holy, and to pursue holiness, and to be hungry for holiness. So we know what the opposite of that is. Is what? Uncleanness, right? And so where do we find uncleanness? Everywhere. Oh my God. Uncleanness is everywhere. It's in the world. So therefore, we know that there's some unclean stuff out there, but he hasn't called us to it. Oh, but somebody said there's some uncleanness in the church. I'm sorry, but he's actually telling the truth. I mean, I must admit, because some people have not been convinced that holiness is the life that they want to lead. And so that's what he's called us to. So if you're sitting in the church pursuing uncleanness, he wants you to know today that he hasn't called you to uncleanness. He's called you to what? But unto holiness. And if we read further, it says what? He therefore that despiseth, see, let me do that despises thing. Because this is what it is. Remember earlier when I said that God don't want me to have no fun. I want to do some stuff. So what do you end up doing? You end up getting bitter towards him because he's saying, hey, don't do that. That's not good for you. That's not good for you. That's not good for you. Let's take smoking. Well, we found out, and it's a scientific fact, that if you pursue smoking, you're going to get cancer. You're going to have emphysema. You're going to walk around with a oxygen tank. And do you believe that some people still with an oxygen tank want to still smoke when that thing can blow up? It can. Oxygen is flammable. But they're still pursuing what? Uncleanness. Even when it comes to drinking. Now, the Bible says, it doesn't say that necessarily drinking is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. But how does drunkenness start? With a drink. You can't get drunk, what? Without a drink. And you say, well, I know my limits. Well, evidently, you tested your limits. And you got buzzed and drunk. So I'm going to tell you, it varies. It varies. It depends on you. You drink on an empty stomach, right? You go to different bars, they give you different amounts. You know, they mix it up a different. That what's that iced tea? Oh, y'all know what it is, don't you? Well, when I was drinking Long Island, yes, Pastor Tom, yes, I tried it. But everybody's Long Island was different. Some people's Long Island was watered down. And I'm like, where is it at? But then other people's Long Island was strong, right? So if I'm thinking that I can handle two Long Islands, right? But maybe I could handle two with a watered down. But what happens if I go over? Then I'm drunk. I'm too far gone. And I will tell the saints that buzzed drinking is drunkenness. Because buzzed drinking still diminishes your what? Because see, this is what the devil tried to tell you. He says that as long as you ain't falling over, sloppy, passing out, throwing up, drunk, you're not drunk. Wrong. If you buzzed and feeling good and feeling free, and hey, you drunk. You titillated. You've already gone over the what? The limit. So that's why I just encourage people, don't press the limits. Just let it go. They got some nice fruity things that you can drink that should satisfy. But see, if you're drinking, maybe you are looking for the buzz. Because I'm telling you, straight alcohol don't taste good. It don't. Give me some straight stuff. cognac,
Hennessy, vodka, Grand Marnier. I mean, it's like, but you know that when it goes down, you're going to start feeling good. But see, why are you pursuing feeling good? And why are you pursuing all that? See, he provided the Holy Ghost. It's called the Comforter. If you need some peace, just tap into the Holy Ghost. Right? So you know, have a dose of the Holy Ghost, not a dose of the spirits. See, that's why they call alcohol spirits for a reason. Because it releases some what? Little S spirits. So I want the big S. I want the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So that's why we're saying that it's important for us to understand these principles. And it says, 8th verse says, and we're right there with it. He therefore that despises not man. So when you say in the Yahweh's trying to keep you away from something, you're not despising man. You're not despising Pastor Tom for bringing it up. But you're actually despising Yahweh. It's his word that says that we should abstain, right? And so when we read a little further, it says, but Yahweh, who hath also given unto us what? So I submit to the church that you cannot pursue holiness without having the Holy Spirit. He provided the Holy Spirit that you might have a chance to live a holy life. If you're trying to pursue holiness and you don't have the Holy Ghost power, you can't do it. But if you have the Holy Ghost power, you can do it. And so turn to Romans, please, the 12th chapter. So now I think we're kind of catching up to where we were the last time. How is this going to work? And if you guys are, I encourage you, if you get an opportunity, come to Bible study on Wednesday nights. And if you can't be here, tune in on iChurch, 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday, because we're talking about working your faith. And faith is important because faith is the walk of the believer. I mean, everything we have to do it in faith. We got to be in faith, right? And so if you got to, how should I say this? If pursuing holiness means you have to believe by faith, or in faith, that holiness is the thing to do. I can't live a holy life or pursue a holy life if I don't have faith in the God who saved me and transformed me. I have to have faith that when he said in his word that I can be a conqueror, more than a conqueror, I got to believe that. When he says, be ye holy as he is holy, I got to believe that I can do that. How do I believe that I can do that? By faith. So, We're finding out how to work our faith individually. Sometimes some of us need to increase our faith in other areas. We're finding out how to do that. If holiness is your challenge, if you challenge from making some holy decisions in your life, some good decisions that's going to help you pursue holiness, you need to come find out how to work your faith, because you can't do it without faith. All right. So I told you to go to Romans 12th chapter. First verse. And so, we've read this time and time again. What does it say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is reasonable. After he does the transformation part, we've already gone over that. He's saying that, and he says, I beseech you. And I've said this before. I beg you. I urge you. Do this. Please do this. This can change your life. By the mercies of Yahweh, that you present. Stop it. You present. Does Yahweh present your body a living sacrifice? It's my job, it's your job to present your body, your life, a what? Living sacrifice. Present, comes from present. And we all know about presents, don't we? Some of y'all are expecting something on Friday. It's taking some people a little longer to process that. It's okay. When somebody gives you something, it's a present. What is a present? It's something that you give away, right? And when you give something away, it's no longer what? Yours. Now, I'm sure some of y'all have done that before when you've given somebody and snatched it back. But no, that's not the way it's done. The proper way is when you give someone a present or you present to them a gift, it's no longer yours anymore. Well, same principle with Yahweh. When he told you to present your bodies or your life, a what? Living sacrifice. You present it. That means you give him your what? Life. And you say, I'm going to live for you. And when you present your body or your life a living sacrifice, then who does it belong to? It belongs to him. Because he did a transformative work in you. And if you don't understand sanctification, the sanctified part is that he sets you apart for his use. So because he sanctified you, and now you're worthy, all you got to do is say, here goes my life, Yahweh, I'm going to live it for you. I'm going to do it as unto you. But then if we go further, it says living and sacrifice. Living is something that's alive. Well, if we know anything about the Hebrew tradition of presenting an offering, we would present something that was dead. So a sacrifice is something that is dead. But something that living is what? Alive. So here we go. It appearing that it's an oxymoron. How can something be living and dead at the same time? Well, when you present your body a living sacrifice, it's dead unto the world, but it is alive unto Yahweh. That means you want that flesh to be consumed and die off. All that lust, all that desire, all those things that we crave and feel in the flesh, that should be what? Dead. Let it burn up. Let it consume. And when that's gone, what's left is what's alive for Yahweh. Hallelujah. So that's why the sacrifice is dead unto the world, but it's alive unto who? Yahweh. And this is the part that really kind of blows my mind. Living sacrifice. But it can't be just any living sacrifice. He says that it has to be holy. That means that we have to maintain that holiness. And what? Acceptable. What? So are you telling me that he don't just, you know, people say, oh, God loves me just the way I am. Well, he loves you, people. Tell your neighbor he loves you. He even loves you in your sin. Tell him he loves you. But tell him this, but he don't want you to stay that way. All right. He don't want you to stay a sinner. He loves you, but he wants you to come out of that. Right? It's because he's provided all the tools for that. So that means that I can't just give him any old kind of life. I can't be living a foul, what's the word you guys gave me a couple weeks ago? Ratchet life. I can't live a foul, ratchet life and say he loves me, he'll take me up. And he says, no. Because he says, when you present to me your life, a living sacrifice, he says, there is some requirements for that life. Number one, I want that life to be holy. And then number two, I want that life to be acceptable. What does that tell me? That tells me that there is an acceptable and there is something that is unacceptable. Right? uncleanness is unacceptable. And it says, which is your reasonable service. He's saying that is the least that you can do for me after everything that I've done for you. I cleaned you up. I justified you. I put my stamp on you. I redeemed you. I set you apart for my use. So the least you can do is present your body, present your life unto me, right? And it says, two, and be ye not conformed. See, that's the problem that we have. A lot of us are conformed to the world and the stuff that goes on in the world, right? I mean, we see trends. We want to do stuff that the world does. We want to act like the world does, right? We want to speak like the what? World does. We have a different way of speaking. When you get saved, you shouldn't be cussing folk out. But we got saved folk that are cussing folk out. I mean, it used to be every other word. That was your language when you were in the world. That was the way you spoke. But I submit to the church that when he transformed you and set you apart, he gave you a new language. He gave you a new tongue. Right? He gave you a new way of speaking. So you can't be conformed to the world, but rather we are what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. That you might prove. Why do we got to prove it? People need to see. The world needs to see that what is good. The world needs to see what is acceptable. How will they see it? They'll see it through you. They'll see it through you because they need to know that there's hope. But if you live in the same dirty, foul, ratchet life that they're living, then where do they find that something's different? The only thing that's going to show them that there's something different is if you're walking in holiness. You're walking in what he's called us for. All right, so let's go to Yaakov. And a lot of people say, I can't help myself. You got the Holy Ghost. Allow it to work in you. And I'm telling you, saints, when you follow with temptation, you can't pray to temptation. Leave. Oh, Father, get rid of that temptation. Let that temptation go. Oh, send it away. There's something that you got to do. The Bible said he got something for you. I got a scripture for that. James, 4th chapter. See, saints, you're going to be tried. The enemy wants to pull you out of pocket. He wants to say that you can't do it, but you can do it. You've already overcome. You've already been made victorious. You're already a conqueror. Matter of fact, you're more than that. So you can do this. So every time short skirt come by with the MAC makeup on and the blonde and brown mixed weave and the hazel contact lenses, and she come pushing up on you. Brothers, you can resist, right? And you know what, nowadays, good Lord, they'll just tell you exactly what they want to do with you. Don't hold back these days. And you know, there's temptation there. Sisters, you ain't exempt. You got the dude to come up, tatted it with the tank top,
an 18-inch arm.
And he said, what's up? What you doing tonight?
Sisters. Hey. Hallelujah. That's what you tell them. But it's temptation. And it's coming. Sisters, he's coming. Brothers, she coming. Don't even matter if you got a wedding ring on nowadays. They'll say, so what? That's all right. Right? So that's going to what? You're going to feel something. But this is what the words say. Fourth chapter, seventh verse. James says what? Submit yourselves, therefore, to Yahweh. If you resist the devil, he will what? Flee from you. But if it's coming and she right there trying to talk to me, what do? You resist the devil. Now, if you have to, what was that movie that Denzel was in? Devil in a what? Blue dress. So the devil can come in a blue dress and a red one and a black one. That's how he comes. So what is your job to maintain your holiness? You have to what? Resist. And what happens if you resist? Hear what? So the eighth verse says what? Draw. See, if you're having struggles with the holiness, he has a panacea. He has a remedy for it. He says, just draw near to Yahweh. So what does that mean? When you're tempted, one thing you can do is start praying, right? You done bound the devil, but now you need to get your mind right. How do you get your mind right? Maybe you need to start praying. Maybe you need to go over some scripture, right? Because you know your mind is messed up after that. See, once you resist, you say, I can't do this. I can't do it. I'll see you later, right? Your mind is what? It's messed up. So what you need to do? Draw nigh to Yahweh. How do you do that? By prayer. By reading the word. And it says, and when you do that, he'll do something. Do you guys see the pattern here? He's, in everything, he's telling us to do something. We got to do it. It's not automatic. So if it's come, if temptation come, I have to resist. That's my job, right? And if I draw nigh to Yahweh, he'll draw nigh to me. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 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 Many believers today are double-minded. Why are they double-minded? Because the word of Yahweh says when we become saved, we're supposed to put on the mind of Mashiach. But you have somewhat of the mind of Mashiach, and then you keep on trying to react in your own mind. Mashiach wants us to do the right thing. Your soul, flesh nature, wants you to do the wrong thing. So now you got how many minds? Two. You have to deny your mind and put on the mind of who? Mashiach, right? So you cannot be double-minded. Tell your neighbor, you can't be double-minded. We can't have two. We have to let one reign. Who knows what that one reign is? The mind of Mashiach is the one that needs to reign. That mind of Mashiach, right? So I gotta share this with you. Ephesians, fourth chapter. This is another proof. It says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. But there is a beautiful little nugget in here that accentuates the fact of what we're supposed to do. All right? Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 17th verse. And this is a good scripture for you to meditate on when you leave here. This is something good for your own personal study. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse. You got it? Say, I got it. 17 says what? This I say, therefore, and testify in Yahweh, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity. So when you've been transformed, you can't rely on your mind no more. You can't walk in your mind. You got to walk in what? Yahweh, the Holy Ghost, right? Because who walks in the mind, in the flesh mind? The Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The unsaved folk. Because we're talking about saved people here. I'm assuming that most of y'all up in here are saved. Am I speaking to saved folk this morning? Where the saved folk at? Okay. So that's who we're talking to. So it says, you can't walk as the Gentiles walk. They're walking in the vanity of their mind. 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of Yahweh through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. But y'all ain't blind. He's already opened that up. He showed you the way you're supposed to live. 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto, you give yourself. When sin comes, you have two choices. You can give in to it and let it happen to you, or you can resist. And the Gentiles, what? They always give themselves over to it. And it says what? To work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, why is greediness in here with uncleanness? They can't get enough. Ooh, when it comes to sex, they can't get enough. Ooh, when it comes to women, they can't what? Get enough. When it comes to weed, they what? Can't get enough. You know, and I always wonder, I can't understand that. And it's like people, they find the money to buy the weed and the cigarettes, as expensive as they are, and the alcohol and the drugs. But if you're not working, where are you getting that money from? Whatever it takes. Wow, that's life most miserable. Selling bodies and everything. Pawning stuff, stealing stuff. That's a miserable life. I'm sorry, but that's a miserable life. That's a life being worth delivered from. He's got something better for you than that. There's something better, right? And so it's uncleanness with greediness. You can't get enough of it. And so 20th verse, but ye have not so learned, Mashiach, Yeshua didn't teach you that. You didn't learn that from him. When you looked at his lifestyle, he didn't do that. 21st verse, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, he's talking to y'all, as the truth is in Yeshua. So he done told y'all what to do, and the truth is in Yeshua. Is anybody in the truth this morning? So we ain't got to go that way. So the truth is in him. 20, if so, be that ye have heard him. And 22 says, but ye put off concerning the former conversation. Conversation means a lifestyle. You don't put off the old lifestyle of the old man. And what do? Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit. Tell your neighbor, I got to get my mind right. I didn't tell you to say you got to get your mind right. I told you to tell them, I got to get my mind right. Matter of fact, say we got to get our mind right. We got to do it. We got to do it, right? And that ye put on. Somebody say put on. Put on the new. Put on. Does he put it on you? You got to put it on. We got to what? Put it on. So wait, this is something, when he says put on, it's almost like it's something that's off to the side, and I have a choice whether I want to actually leave it there to the side or whether I actually want to put it on. But I got to pick it up. I got to pick up the new man. You got to pick up the new woman. And we actually got to put it on. And when you put it on, wrap it up tight. But that's your work. He can't force you to put that thing on. You got to what? Put it on. And when you put on that new man or you put on that new woman, which is after Yahweh, it's created in righteousness. And what? Wait, what kind of holiness? True holiness, not fake holiness. But what? True. Who wants to be truly holy? I want to be truly holy. But what you got to do is you got to put that on. So you got to take off the old man and you got to put on the new man. Take off the old man, put on the new man. Take off the old man, put on the new man. Take off the old man, put on. That's our work. That's what we got to do. And so when we do that, put it on. Can I say that one more time? Put it on. Put it on. So this is one thing. Earlier I told you that sometimes, well, all the time, when the devil comes, you got to resist him. All the time. And when you resist him, he'll what? Flee. But let me show you something else. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Who wants to, who wants to be hungry for holiness? See, you got to want this. You got to actually be hungry to take off that old man. You actually got to be hungry to put on that new man. See, nobody want to put on some rat-tatted, messed-up clothes, do you? You want to put on some nice stuff. You want to put on some red carpet-ready stuff, don't you? Some good stuff. Some clean stuff. Well, you got to put it on. So 2 Timothy 2nd chapter, the 21st verse. 2 Timothy 2nd chapter, 21st verse. Read it with me. If a man, do you see that? Say it with me. If, somebody say, if a woman, therefore purge himself, somebody say herself, from these, he, somebody say or she, shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's, meaning that you are fit for the master's use and prepared unto what? Every good work. I got to say this. When you struggle with whatever it is that you struggle with, see, the challenge is going to come. The struggle is going to come. But when you choose to fail the struggle, you're not prepared for the master's use. See, you never know when the master is going to need to use you. You out there among people who are hurting. You out there for people who need prayer. You out there that people are asking you questions. And if you are messed up in your own sin because you chose not to put on the new man or the new woman, then you're not going to be prepared for that work. So because you're not prepared, because you're so messed up in your mind, oh, God, I did this and I'm living this way. There was a job that he needed you to do. There was somebody that needed to be saved. There was somebody that needed to be witnessed to. But you were so wrapped up in pleasing your flesh, then you missed out on the opportunity for the master to use you. And see, that should not be. We should always be ready. We should always be fit for his use. And if that's the only thing that you, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. If you stay in holiness, then you'll always be prepared for his use, right? And it says, unto every good work. But listen to this, 22nd verse. Flee. Say it. Flee. What does that mean? You got to run sometimes. Sometimes you got to hit the spot. Sometimes you got to put the jets on. See, we say resist the devil and he'll flee, but sometimes that ain't fast enough. Sometimes you need to go. No, you really do need to go. What does that mean? Sometimes, saints, you need to physically remove yourself from the situation. See, sometimes they ain't gonna go. Sometimes they want to see if you gonna go. So it says, flee what? Youthful lust. Right? But follow righteousness. But I want to go back to the fleeing part. Because we have an example of a brother in the Bible who, when he was getting pushed up on, he ran away. Who was that? Yaakov. And when who was it? Potiphar's wife was pushing up on him. She grabbed him. She was like, you're going to lay with me tonight. You're going to be with me. Well, that's what some of the women in the club say, brothers. You're going to be with me tonight. They bold. They going to do, like, you're going to do this. Let's be about this. I told y'all when I was at the gas station, this girl was like, if I had you, I would do so and so and so and to you. I had to get my gas and go. I had to go. I had to flee. And it worked for Yaakov. It was working for me. But that's what you got to do. You got to love Yahweh so much that when you're confronted with something, you just got to leave it. Leave it behind. Leave it in the dust. Leave it smoking. You can't pay me enough to get out there quickly. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. If you resist him, and he'll flee. But sometimes you got to flee. Oh, but if you do this, somebody said, we got to run. You got to run. Literally. Somebody said, shake the spot. Whatever you got to do. Hang up the phone. Turn the phone off. Whatever it is. And it says, but follow. So that means, follow means pursue. Follow means to go after. What do I go after? I go after righteousness. I go after faith. I go after charity, which is love. I go after peace, which is shalom, with them that call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. Isn't that a one? Didn't he provide a way of escape? Don't he have some wonderful stuff for us to pursue? We got to do that. And we'll find out some of the ways that we can do that effectively next time. Father Yahweh, we just thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you and praise you, Father Yahweh, for what you've done in our lives.